Good morning and welcome to Harbor of Hope. Thanks for joining us for worship this morning. My name is Hank and I'm the new interim pastor. It's good to finally be with you. I'll tell you a little bit about myself as we get started this morning. My wife Julie and I, along with our family, we planted a church in Boston called Reunion back in 2006. We were there for about 9 years living in the city before moving to be closer to family here in Illinois. We still miss Boston, our church, our friends, the East Coast, our favorite sports teams, you name it. So when Harbor asked if we'd be interested in the whole interim position, we said yes, because number one, we do miss it. And this felt like an easy way to connect. But number two, Harbor was one of our supporting churches when we started Reunion in the city. So I'm grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for Harbor of Hope. And if there's a way that I can help now, in this time in the life of your church, I want to do that. So enough on me. Let's jump in because I think we've got a lot to get to today. Is anybody a fan of Antiques Roadshow? My wife regularly watches the show. She's even applied a few times. But in general, I think it's fun to see people be surprised by the worth of what they thought was junk and it ends up being tens of thousands of dollars, or what they thought was treasure and it turns out to be worth only a few bucks, right? It's fun either way. Now, it wasn't on that show, but one of my favorite stories ever in terms of a return on the investment, a big payout, was back in 1989. A man was rummaging through a bunch of old stuff at an antique market in Reading, Pennsylvania. He sees a ragged old painting that kind of catches his eye. He likes it, but not because of the painting. The painting wasn't that great. In fact, it was kind of ugly. But because of the frame that he thought was really cool, he buys it for $4. And once home, he starts to remove the painting from the backing of the frame when he notices something is tucked between the two. It's a folded document. He takes it out, and what he discovers is that in almost pristine condition is what looks like an old copy of the Declaration of Independence. He takes it to a rare documents dealer to find out that it was from the first batch of copies of the Declaration of Independence. Turns out only 23 were known to exist, and this was the 24th. This guy ended up selling this copy about a year later at auction for $2.42 million. Not a bad return on a $4 antique store find, is it? Now, what we're going to do in this series is handle something that I think is not just very old, but it's also very familiar. But maybe we've overlooked what a tremendous treasure it is. It is so familiar, we could probably recite much of it from memory. So I'm going to start, and I'm going to ask you to join in right where you are. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Now, you may have learned it with trespasses instead of debts, or a slight change here or there in some of the wording. But those 66 words comprise the most famous prayer ever prayed. The Lord's Prayer, or sometimes called the Our Father, depending on how you learned it, are 66 words that we've all heard or said at some point, whether in a church service or in a locker room, before a game or in a 12-step meeting. For two millennia, it has been used as a simple prayer and a simple way to pray when we use our own words. But what if there was more to it than that? For the next several weeks, it's my hope that we can begin to rediscover how rich a treasure this prayer actually is. You know, when Jesus originally said these words, keep in mind the religious leaders wanted to look good. They wanted to look good in the way that they dressed. They wanted to look good in the way that they were honored in public, even wanted to look good in the way that they prayed. So Jesus told his followers in Matthew chapter 6, don't pray like them. This then is how you should pray. And he begins, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. To be able to call God Father is one of the first markers of faith. Mommy and daddy are some of the first words that a kid will say. It's one of the first concepts a child will grasp onto, but it also doesn't mean that they fully grasp all of the meaning of calling and relating to someone as mother or father. That can take a lifetime. I know I'm still figuring that out as my parents get older. But Jesus teaches us that we should say and pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," even though today may be the first day that we've ever called him that. Jesus also says, "Our Father," rather than just "Father." As Christians, it makes sense to us, but it wasn't always so. And part of that is because the first time the idea of Father shows up in Scripture is in the book of Exodus, when God tells Moses to say to the Pharaoh, "This is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son. And I told you, let my son go so that he may worship me." And so this family, this country of Israel, ancient Israel, related to God as Father. And so when we use the term Father, it's meant to remind those listening that this is Israel's God, the one who rescued people from slavery. He is our Father. So when we say "Our Father," we are reminded of the Exodus and God's plan for rescue as well. N.T. Wright says that saying "Our Father" is not some forward act of walking into the presence of the living and almighty God and saying, "Hi, Dad." It is the boldness and risk of saying, "Please, may I too be considered a son or a daughter," only to find out that you already are. That's a pretty powerful start to the prayer, but let's keep going. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." We're going to spend most of our time next week on the meaning of heaven and the kingdom when Jesus talks about it in this prayer and beyond. So let's talk about "hallowed be thy name" at the end of this first phrase. What does that mean? "Hallowed be thy name" means to make God's name holy. Holy means to set it apart and to declare it as sacred. But wait, isn't God's name already holy? And if so, does he need us to do that for him? No, we're the ones who need to recognize it. It's for our benefit that we recognize who God is and that we are speaking to him in that way when we start a conversation with him. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," should put us in a place of reverence and awe. We find ourselves transported into the very presence of Almighty God. I know that when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I would say it tends to remind me to be more reverent and more formal than when I'm using my own words. But here's the thing. When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you, but please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Very famous prayer, right? When Jesus begins this prayer in Mark, he uses the term "Abba," which is like calling his father "dad" or "papa." What an interesting juxtaposition, right? The Lord's Prayer sounds so formal, but I don't think that's what Jesus was going for. Maybe that's what we've made it into. I think he was communicating that the God of Israel isn't just someone we call Father. He is to be related to in a personal way as well. And that goes for us too. It should be reverent and respectful, yes, but also personal and meaningful. And when we hold those two things in tension, we're in, hopefully, a prayer sweet spot. And that's why doing this series is so important. The Lord's Prayer is about prayer, yes, but it's also more than that too. It shows us we are to live every day in a posture of reverence and awe. We're to live every day in a posture of worship. As many of you know, I'm a coach and a consultant for church plants and pastors. I love my job. One of the things that we're seeing in churches all over the United States, especially during these times of COVID and remote worship, is that it's hard to connect and engage when it comes to worship on the screen. I personally don't sing towards the TV. I mean, I love watching artists lead us in worship online, but I'm just being honest. It's hard for me to sing, at least loud enough to hear myself or to let my kids hear me. My kids are between the ages of 16 and 23. They would put up with that for about 2 seconds before I would have something thrown at me. It just feels weird to me, and I'm not comfortable with it. I'm working on it, okay? But listen, I bring that up because I think we need a paradigm shift when it comes to worship. What we need to remember is that singing on Sunday mornings doesn't equal worship. We can worship in our songs or in our service, but worship is not synonymous with singing. Worship has to do with how we relate to God. Hallowed be thy name is worship. Worship has to do with our need for him and our gratitude. Songs are part of what puts us in the right frame of mind, but worship is not a service, just as a church is not a building. Paul redefines worship for the New Testament Christians, for people who thought of worship as what you did on a particular day, and worship as the rituals and offerings and sacrifices. He says in Romans 12, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. And that is why our Father, which art in heaven, is followed by hallowed be your name. Our Father is someone who needs to be distinguished and set apart from anything else that we value or pursue. Why? Because of his love for us. His willingness to rescue us from all pursuits of all other things that are not hallowed, which, by the way, nothing else in the entire universe has the ability to rescue us like that. No one else has the ability to rescue us. That's why God deserves us making his name holy. That's why he deserves our worship every single day. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has set eternity in the hearts of men. It means God's wired us to worship him. And so until God is the one whom we are giving a lifetime of thanks to, then we will always be on a search for something more. But once we discover how great God really is, how much he loves us, and the wisdom he has to guide us, we will abandon everything else to worship him. I don't know if you remember the old Bon Jovi song, Living on a Prayer. My kids with the, you know, the whole streaming stuff, every once in a while, I'll look at them and say, how do you know this song? Bon Jovi's song came on the other day when my son and I were making something. He's like, of course I know this song, Dad. Come on, it's Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. But that's what we're going to try to do. I bring that up because that's what I want us to think about over these next 5 weeks or so. We're going to try to immerse ourselves and see if we can't live on this prayer. And I want to ask you to do something at the outset. I want you to pray this prayer every day. I want you to pray it by yourself, pray it with your spouse, pray it with your kids. Pray it before you eat, pray it in the morning, pray it before you go to bed, pray it when you have no other words to pray it when you have lots of other words. Pray it multiple times a day. We're also going to look for really practical ways to apply the individual phrases from the prayer. So today I want to give you some ideas on our Father and making God's name holy. Idea number one, okay? Explore the names of God in Scripture. As you begin your prayers, focus on the meaning of those names. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. God, thank you for being the answer to my every need. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. God, thank you for healing me. Elohim, God is creator, powerful, mighty. God, thank you for all that you've created. I am in awe of your creation. Or reflect on the attributes of God. Go to Psalm 103 that says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love. God, thank you for your grace and the way that you show me patient love every single day. When you start your prayer, begin with words of worship. Don't just dive into your prayer request list immediately, asking what you have to ask for. Start with a posture of worship, reverence, respect, awe, and gratitude. Worship throughout the day and every single day. That's number two. Worship throughout the day and every single day. You don't have to stand in line at the grocery store with arms raised and eyes closed. That's not what we're talking about. You don't have to gather your coworkers on a Zoom call and then lead them in some acoustic guitar worship over lunch. You also don't have to round up the kids in the neighborhood and put on some sort of VBS and teach them some special sort of things that, you know, that they need to do to relate to God. You just have to say, "Our Father," and you're automatically transported to His presence. Brother Lawrence wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. In it, he encourages followers of Jesus to open themselves up to God's presence in little ways, to allow everyday tasks and places to become our continuous state of prayer. So while you're loading your dishwasher, picking up the kids from school, or maybe you have to run some errands, or maybe you're in a conversation with a neighbor, doesn't matter. Try thinking about and practicing God's presence and seeing that space as holy. Try that this week. I wonder what could happen to our words and our actions if we just simply did that. And then here's the final one I got from a common prayer book. Number three, build a chapel or a prayer room in your house or outside and begin using it. I know not all of us have the space to do something like that, but what if we tried to make the places and spaces in which we pray hallowed, or even one space? Some of us already do this. We have a special spot where we like to pray. What would it mean for us to create sacred spaces, though, where we make God's name hallowed? Let's give that some thought, some effort this week. But the most important thing is not to limit ourselves to seeing worship as something that happens for one day a week in a service or at a building. What if we began to see worship as Paul describes and as Jesus intended, as our sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place that before God as an offering? Let's imagine that difference, or the difference that that would make. I told you there's a lot in this prayer, and that's just the first line. So I want to invite you back to join us for part two next week. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray this with me one more time. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For some of us here today, you might be saying, "Oh, that sounds great, Hank, but I'm just trying to get my life together." Well, the good news of the Lord's Prayer and all of Scripture is that if you want access to this Heavenly Father, loves you, who will forgive you, who cares about your life more than you ever could, that all you have to do is talk to Him. Before Jesus, access to the Father was limited to a temple, and forgiveness was given through a system of sacrifice and offerings and other rituals. That system was brokered by a chosen few people, priests and other representatives who would speak to God for you or who would make offerings on your behalf. Imagine how revolutionary it was when Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. Not only that you could speak directly to the God of Israel, but that you could just ask for forgiveness. This was made possible. Forgiveness was made possible by the Messiah of Israel. This was made possible through Jesus, His life, His death, and His resurrection. Father, I pray that our lives from today on would begin to declare the meaning of this very simple but profound prayer. I pray that you would embed these truths upon our hearts. We thank you for Jesus, who makes all forgiveness, all life possible. We pray these things in His holy and precious name. Amen.